This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, so Tom Wilson is a noted aggressor in the NHL. And he really gave it to Buchnevich and Panarin yesterday.
Right.
Panarin's
right.
out for the remainder of the year because of what happened. And today, the NHL fined him $5,000. No suspension, though. So here's David Quinn, whether or not it was enough of a punishment.
Not at all. I mean, to me, anybody in hockey, certainly everybody in our organization is very disappointed. Certainly thought it was warranted a suspension. We're just really disappointed. A line was crossed. The guy didn't have his helmet on. Vulnerable. He got hurt. You know, to me, it was there was an awful lot there to suspend him.
All right, so Don, why don't you take it? Explain to people exactly what's going on and what went wrong.
All right. Rangers are on the power play, so they've got skill position players on the ice. Tom Wilson's a penalty killer and a heck of a player, too, honestly. The guy's got 13 goals. He'll have 20 goals. He's played on the top line, Stanley Cup champion. He's a heck of a player. He really is. And he's also a player that I think anybody, including Ranger fans, would love to have, right? But he's a punk and a thug, and he's got no place in this game. It's so frustrating because he's such a good player. He shouldn't play at that level, but he does. He's been suspended 5 games, including 7 games this year on his hit on Carlo of Boston. A couple of years ago, he got suspended 20 games, reduced to 14 for hitting Sundqvist of the Blues in an exhibition game. All right? So I am no way, shape, or form ever going to defend Tom Wilson and his antics. He should be out of the league. But there's the reality of good luck doing that. Because as I mentioned to Jeff Passan, these players are all protected by their players' association. It's just that's a fact. You know, you can't throw them out of the league. Wouldn't work. Wouldn't happen. Now, why was he not suspended? I talked to some people in the league, and this is what frustrates a lot of people about the NHL is he was fined for his abuse of Buchnevich, who was down, vulnerable, punched in the face. Okay, that's a clear roughing penalty. He took 2 roughing minors in the incident. He was fined the maximum you're allowed to fine a player, the $5,000, okay? Now, as far as the Panarin play is concerned, the way it was explained to me is, you know, it's a scrum. Panarin engages him to try to protect Buchnevich. Wilson drags him down by his hair. He hits his head on the ice, and I think he's out more precautionary than anything else. But, you know, Panarin jumps him. So the league's going to say, wait a minute, Panarin jumped him. They interacted. It's an altercation, and it happened. And they just don't really have the area, according to them, to suspend him for that particular thing. I think it's ridiculous, but they didn't do it, all right? Now, let's say they did suspend him, Michael. What are they going to give him? Rest of the regular season, 4 games left? How does that affect the Rangers? They're going to play them tomorrow, but that game doesn't mean anything for the Rangers in the standings. The fact is that you can't rely on somebody else to take care of your business, whether it's the Yankees with the Astros situation, because the league can only go so far and are likely going to drop the ball. So in that situation, Wilson played the entire third period. Nobody gets in his face. Nobody puts him through the wall. Nobody engages him in a fight. And listen, I realize that they're short. All right, Lindgren would have fought him. He's out. Trouba would have fought him. He's out. Lemieux would have fought him. He was traded earlier in the season. But I'm sorry. Forget about it. Do not allow him to skate. And if you can't get to him, you know what? Then put Backstrom into the wall and say, listen, if I can't get to you, I'm going to hit one of your players. You got to defend yourself. You can't let that go without some sort of response. And I hope there's something tomorrow. And I know it sounds childish, and I know it sounds Neanderthal, but this guy is smart. He knows what he can get away with. He knew who was on the ice when he did that. He knows the Rangers don't have an enforcer. He knows he's not going to be held accountable for his actions. Well, make him accountable. Because don't count on the league to do it. Make him accountable. Kevin Rooney, drop the gloves, because I guarantee you he'll turtle, because that's the punk that Tom Wilson is. He will not fight you. He'll do everything dirty to get away with it, and he's an effective player doing it. But if you engage him and grab him by the shoulders and fight him, he'll turtle like a punk. Then pummel him, and then you take your suspension. But at least he's held accountable for what he does. And that's what needs to have happen. This is why fighting was put in this league, so the players can police themselves, because you can't count on the league to do it, not with the NHLPA backing all these players. Because of the hypocrisy there, where they don't protect Panarin, they don't protect Buchnevich, but they'll protect Wilson because he's the one that's getting fined or suspended. Don't count on somebody else to take care of your business. You got a problem with it, then somebody has got to step up and take care of it. If not in the third period, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, sometime next year. He has to be held accountable, Michael, and that way he won't do that. It wouldn't happen against the Islanders because Matt Martin would throw him into the third row or beat the garbage out of him. Wouldn't happen against Vegas because Reeves would beat the crap out of him. Wouldn't happen to his own team because Zdeno Chara, all 7 foot of him, would use him like a rag doll and throw him into the fifth row. That's when he learns his lesson, because he's been suspended 5 times. Has he learned his lesson? He's been fined thousands of dollars. Has he learned his lesson? No. The way you learn your lesson is that you get punked the way you punked us. And that's where the Rangers have to get their pound of flesh.
Love this, Don. Don't you, Michael, don't you love a vengeful hockey Don?
I do, but I'm going to say something that will probably anger him, and this is coming from a place from a guy who's not a hockey fan, okay? And I've always wondered about it. The reason Tom Wilson exists is because fighting exists. So now we're going to get ticked off because he fought a little bit too hard and too dirty. He doesn't respect the game. It's almost like the unwritten rule. So you could fight, but let's not smash a guy's head to the ice. Let's not do that. Why don't you just eliminate fighting so a Tom Wilson doesn't exist?
Michael, you've got it all backwards. He exists because fighting's now gone.
But they're still allowed
fighting.
Because
if he did that in the 80s or 90s, there'd be somebody that would beat the living crap out of him, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't be allowed to get away
but
with it.
But the fact that anybody could even throw punches in any other sport, you suspend it for a lengthy time in baseball and basketball. You can't do that. In hockey, it's kind of like an unwritten rule. Okay, solve this problem, drop the gloves, and then, you know, you go into the penalty box. Well, if you really put big suspend, you cannot fight at all in hockey.
Well, Michael,
and you know what? He wouldn't exist.
But, Michael, you're missing the point, okay? That's not fighting in the traditional sense. There's a scrum in front of the net. They're trying to move players away from their goaltender. There's checking in hockey. There's physicality, all right? There's some in basketball, but there's none in baseball, right? That you're all right, you got to remove him from the net. How are you going to remove him? Ask him to leave? No, you're going to drag him away. And when you drag him away, another guy's going to take exception, and somebody else is going to come in to protect. And that's what happened. You know, Buchnevich is close to the net. He gets dragged away by Wilson. Wilson tries to make an example. Hey, don't get close to my goaltender. Then Panarin comes in to break them up. I mean, it's the essence of the sport. It's a violent collision sport. So those things are going to happen. Wilson gets away with it because there's no accountability. Because when there was fighting, there'd be accountability. Where he would now have to go up against the enforcer on the other team who would then fight him or belt him into the wall. But there's less accountability now, which allows him to get away with it. And then everybody looks at the league, including myself, to say, do something about it. But you know how it is in sports. The same reason Manfred couldn't go after the players for the cheating is because they're protected by their
union.
Well,
then why did Larry Brooks say in the post say he should be thrown out of the league? Because they said that if Panarin's shoulder didn't hit the ice first, he could have died. You would have had a death on your hand.
I know, you would have. But that didn't happen, right? So now you go to try to – let's. And listen, I respect Larry, and I understand where Larry's coming from. I'd like Tom Wilson to be out of the league. You think that's going to happen? You think Gary Bettman's going to throw Tom Wilson out of the league, and then the union's going to stand for that?
But it's funny, though, Don, because you only give him a $5,000 hit, which is nothing to a player. If you at least try to throw him out and then have the union defend him, then the union has to defend him to Panarin and Buchnevich and say, listen, we're going to take up for this guy that almost killed you. But you should at least make the attempt, like we said, even with baseball. They should have made the attempt to suspend the Astros, and then the union could have fought it, and then they've got no blood on their hands. Right now, the NHL has blood on their hands because they didn't even attempt it. $5,000 is laughable, Don. It's laughable.
But there's a big difference here, Michael, which is that baseball, I think, actually wants to get rid of that stuff in the sport. Don, do you think hockey actually wants to be rid of violence in the game?
No, they don't.
The fans want it. They don't want to get rid of it. It would hurt. Well, it would hurt the support of the game by the purists
in
a big way.
It's not. it's not the entertainment, because there was nothing entertaining about what happened last night. I mean, Buchnevich is vulnerable, right? Panarin's now out for the year. Believe me, the league does not want Artemi Panarin, even though the Rangers are mathematically eliminated, having one of the best players in the league not play the rest of the year.
By the way, it could have been much worse, too.
The league doesn't want that. But, you know, at the same time, there are those things are going to happen. You get a little too close to the goaltender, you drag him down. And I guess the league's saying that if every time you drag somebody down and they fall down, you know, we're not going to suspend them 10, 15 games. Otherwise, now everybody's going to be crashing the net, standing in front of the goaltender, and then players are going to feel like, I can't do anything to stop it from happening.
So on Twitter, Ahmed Mobley goes, football's also a violent collision sport, and fighting is banned there. Why don't they just ban fighting?
Because it's a completely different situation. It's organized violence. You tackle a guy, the whistle blows, you go back to your respective positions. You're not battling each other in constant motion for several minutes at a time, right? Plus, how are you going to fight somebody when he's got shoulder pads, he's got gloves, he's got a helmet on with a face mask? You tackle a guy, which is how you get them down, but you see skirmishes all the time and guys piling up on top of each other and throwing each other around. But hockey's, that's happening all the time. Guys are on skates, holding sticks, you know, banging themselves into the boards, throwing each other all over the place. So you're going to have to allow for players to be able to show that physicality to it. And so, but Wilson gets away with what he did last night because there's no accountability, because there's less fighting now and there's less enforcers. The league has never banned fighting, but what's happened is you used to carry 2-3 guys on your team that were there specifically to enforce. But now the game's more wide open, more offensive. You can't afford to dress a guy that's going to play 3 minutes. Ross Johnston is the enforcer for the New York Islanders, right? He's a winger, undrafted player. He'll fight. You're not going to play him. Where are you going to play him? On the Islanders' fourth line, it's one of the best lines on the team. You know, so there's no place. They'll throw him in a game here or there, but there's no place for him. Back in the day, you'd have 2-3, you'd have a whole line of guys that would play for 4 minutes just in case. But doesn't happen anymore. Wilson's the outlier who knows just how to take advantage of it. But that doesn't mean he should be allowed to get away with it. Players should be able to police themselves. Somebody on that ice last night should have held Tom Wilson accountable.
Let's say they never did. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll take some phone calls on this, 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, very quickly, today's Yankees starting lineup against the Astros brought to you by Bigelow Tea. LeMayu at first, Stanton the DH, Judge in right, Urshela at third, Torres bats fifth, plays short, Clint Frazier in left, Aaron Hicks bats seventh, plays center, Kyle Higashioka behind the plate, will bat eighth and batting ninth, the second baseman, Rougned Odor, and the starter is going to be Domingo Germán. That's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. We're talking about the Tom Wilson situation, and let's go to the phones and see what you think. Sal in Staten Island. Sal.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just bear with me. I'm a little emotional. I'm a diehard Rangers fan, and what happened last night was a disgrace. The discipline the NHL safety handed out today was an even bigger disgrace. All Wilson had to do with Panarin, who, by the way, had every right to jump in with to protect his teammate, all Wilson had to do was bear hug him, and that would have been the end of it. I was livid last night. No one did anything to Wilson, and I'll be even more livid if no one does anything tomorrow. But the thing is, I don't want anyone dropping the gloves with Wilson, because honestly, no one can beat him, and it's not going to be enough. What needs to happen tomorrow is that one of those 18 Rangers need to axe chop Wilson's hands and wrists with every intention to break them. And I don't want to resort to that, but that's what needs to happen, because the NHL safety dropped the ball completely with this. And that's the only way it's going to be full retribution. It's the only way that the Rangers are going to get any revenge on this. It's sickening what he did yesterday. He could have seriously, seriously hurt Panarin. He could have killed him, probably. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. And it was just a disgrace. And that's what needs to happen tomorrow. It needs to be old-school hockey. You go out there and you chop Wilson's hands, and with the intent to break his hands and break his wrists. That's it.
Agreed, Don?
Thanks.
No, I don't want to get to that point. Because remember, these are all brethren. I mean, even because that's the joke, right? Like, you'll find a lot of players, Michael, defending Tom Wilson because they played with Tom. They might be teammates down the road. I mean, you can hit him hard. You can fight him, smack him into the boards, you know, pummel him, do the things you do. I don't want to break a guy's wrists and affect his career in that sense. Because again, you do two wrongs make a right here, but you can physically rough him up to make him think I can't do that to you. You know, I'm taking a look at his fighting history. He doesn't do this to Boston because Boston got guys that'll hold him accountable. You know,
The Rangers don't have guys that can do it. Is what the previous caller said. Then they have to resort to something, right?
Right. They don't have guys now. Now again, the incident on the ice was Rangers had a power play, so you're not getting any physical guys now. Kevin Rooney can fight and get into it physically. Colin Blackwell can do the same thing and will try. But like during the course of a game, you just hit him, make an example in some way. And even if they did suspend him, what do you think the suspension would have been? The guy's been suspended 5 times. He doesn't learn his lesson there. If he had gotten a suspension, they probably would have suspended him for the next 4 games, the rest of the games of the regular season. How does that affect the Rangers? Rangers aren't going to the playoffs. So you're the ones that were victimized by this. So now you don't have Panarin for the rest of the year. Thank God he didn't break his head open. You know, so I don't understand why you can't find a way to hold him accountable. I'm not saying break his wrist, but fire him into the boards. Harass him. Punch him in the face. Do to him what he did to you.
Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam.
Hey, guys. Let me start by saying thanks to Don. He did a cameo for my son on Friday, and I appreciate it. He loved it. So,
cool, man! Thanks.
I want to challenge Michael. Michael, there's no fighting in baseball, right? Like, no, you can't fight. That's not part of the rules. But of course, they're going to fight, right? Because
and then they get suspended for 10 games.
Player, understood. But you're gonna. There's an emotion, right? I mean, even though you know the guy, what Tom Wilson did, he wasn't fighting. He had a cheap shot. The guy's on the floor. He took a cheap shot while Buchnevich's head is on the ice. He took a shot at him. For what? This is blown. Play's dead.
Because you're allowed to fight. Right? Because fighting is not illegal in the sport. He felt that the only reason that Ranger fans and hockey fans are upset is because he went too far. So he broke an unwritten rule.
Well,
he got really dirty.
Well, but listen, Michael, he got fined because again, that's the maximum you can fine. But that wasn't fight. He didn't get a fighting major there. He got a roughing major because that's not a fight.
So
when a guy's
throwing,
you're beating him up when somebody's on top of him. That's not fighting.
Why? Well, what he did to Panarin was fighting.
No, not that's not fighting either. That was a rough.
No, that wasn't fighting. Yeah,
I mean, that's taking Panarin and throwing him down, and he's going to claim the reason I threw him down is because he jumped me, mm-hmm. which, you know, Panarin was coming to the defense of Wilson. But a fight, Michael, is two guys deciding we're going to fight. You jump somebody, that's not fighting. That's going to get you thrown out of the game. That's going to get you a game misconduct. In most cases, might actually get you a suspension. But a fight is holding a guy accountable, saying, let's go. You drop the gloves, you square up, and you fight.
Well, let me
ask you
this.
Wilson did was a punk move in any sport.
So he's a punk move guy who does this to other players. Why does the NHLPA defend him? Why wouldn't they stop him?
Why does any PA defend? Because he's always going to give – there's always going to be some reason. Well, hey, listen, Buchnevich was getting too close to my goaltender, so I was dragging him away, and then he fell down. And, you know, he's a very smart guy and a very good player. So he knows exactly what he's going to be able to get away with. But the NHL can only do so much when you've got a PA that's going to protect these. Same thing in baseball. These guys get protected. They never seem to care about the guy that gets hit. They want to protect the pitcher that threw the ball, right?
You're right. You're right.
And so he knows he's going to get the protection. But even the suspensions, he like I said, a 20-game suspension, 7-game suspension, 5 times he's been suspended, fined thousands and thousands of dollars. Doesn't learn his lesson.
Well, why wouldn't the referees have thrown him out? They were right there. Why wouldn't they have thrown him out? Why wouldn't they throw him out of the game?
Well, they gave him a 10-minute misconduct. They took him out of the game.
But
and
why
then he
not
sat
throw
in the
out?
Box. He spent the 4 minutes on the two roughing minors, and he got a 10-minute misconduct.
But why not throw him out? Was that not within
their
power?
Well, they could have thrown him out. They probably missed, and a lot of people did, including the broadcast, Michael. A lot of this came out after the fact that Wilson had pulled Panarin down to the ice. They looked at it, and Panarin jumped him, and they both kind of fell down. But upon further review, you see he pulls Panarin's hair and drives him into the ice.
Right.
Guy's lucky that he didn't break his skull open. You know, so, and I believe that when you are a repeat offender, you can now claim intent. Like, listen, no, this guy's, and I would throw him out of the league if I could, Michael. I think he's a punk. But you know how it is in sports. They're protected by their players' association, and these guys do never, they never get the amount of punishment they ever should get in all sports. Well, I wish the players, the NHLPA and all these PAs would say, you know what? We have to protect the Panarins and the Buchneviches of the world along with Tom Wilson. Because when Tom Wilson goes off the reservation, Michael, he's affecting other players that are part of the union. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't they ever protect them too?
Don, is he the dirtiest player in the league?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. No question. And the thing that is so frustrating, Peter, like people are talking about Sean Avery. Sean Avery was a punk too. He's not nearly as good a player as, but Wilson's a really good player. This guy will score 20 goals. He when they won the cup, Peter, he played a lot of time with Backstrom and Ovechkin. He's a really good player. Right, and he's a smart player who knows exactly what he can get away with because he knows that this league doesn't allow or doesn't have the enforcers to hold him accountable for his actions.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Is there going to be any fighting in the Bronx today? We'll talk about that big series as well. 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Yankees-Astros tonight at Yankee Stadium, the first time the fans will get an opportunity to express their displeasure at the Astros. Now, obviously, they did after the Astros beat them in seven games in 2017, but they weren't known as cheating then. And it wasn't known until after 2019, and the penalties were handed down, but not to the players. So last year, the Astros catch a break because they didn't play the Yankees. Everybody played within their divisions, and the other teams like division. And they actually catch a break tonight because at 20% capacity, it's only going to be a little over 10,000 now. Mm. Obviously, 10,000 people could make loud noise, and I think you're going to boo constantly. Dusty Baker, the manager of the Astros, said, I don't know why it's going to go on. There's only five players that remain from the 2017 team. Well, Dusty, it's going to go on is because of that uniform. That's why that uniform is going to make it go on. And the five players that are left are really important players. The entire infield, including Altuve, who by cheating took an MVP away from Aaron Judge, and a great player like Bregman and Correa and Gurriel. And then the other guy is Lance McCullers Jr. And although they claim nothing went on, I'm sure that a lot of people within the Yankees think that everything went on in 2019 when Altuve hit the walk-off home run in Game 6 against Aroldis Chapman. So there's a lot of players from the 2019 team that claims they did nothing wrong, but the Yankees truly believe that they did do something wrong and try to convince Yankee fans that Altuve wasn't wearing a buzzer. So I think it's going to be very interesting. Passon used the word bloodbath. There's not going to be anything physical. I don't think fans are going to throw anything on the field. But no. I think they're going to make it known every single time these guys come to bat, they're going to get booed, and they're going to get booed loudly. How that will affect the Astros, I have no idea.
It just doesn't seem like nearly enough, right?
No.
It's like, God, they got away with murder. They really did. And now they go the whole year last year with no fans. This year there's going to be 10,000 fans in the building. And even if all those fans boo till they pass out, what's that really doing? Most great athletes love getting booed on the road anyway. So it's nothing. It really is nothing. That's why when I talk about accountability, and this is where I'll connect the Wilson thing to what the Yankees are going through here. They can look at Altuve and say, that's a cheat. That guy robbed me of a championship. That guy robbed me of an MVP. Wouldn't you just love there be a moment where it's a blowout, it's not going to affect, because the Yankees got to win games, right? They can't mess around. It's about beating the Astros and winning the games in this series, getting above 500 and staying there, right? But you'd just love if there was a moment, 10-0 game's over, somebody plunked Altuve. No headhunting, but let's stop being politically correct here, all right? Went on for 100 years in baseball. Nobody is ever going to condone buzzing somebody under the chin, hitting them in the head. But a grown man can take a fastball to the back or to the backside to just let them know, you know what, we're not happy with the way the Players Association handled this. We're not happy the way Major League Baseball handled this. We're not happy the way you handle it. We feel like we could have won a championship and you got in our way and cheated to do it. And we got a player that we love that should have won an MVP and didn't. Is it the worst thing in the world if he took one between the numbers? Is it the worst thing in the world? We're going to sit here and have a conversation about them getting booed by 10,000 people? God, that doesn't seem like nearly enough accountability for what they did. And the jobs that were lost to Michael, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many pitchers sent back to the minors because they couldn't get an Astro out or couldn't get Altuve out?
How about Joe Girardi?
Right, Joe Girardi loses his job. It would have been very difficult to fire him if they had gone to the World Series or won the World Series, right? Maybe they would have done it anyway, but I'm sure Joe Girardi would have loved an opportunity to be able to beat a team on the square. So is that the worst thing in the world? Again, nobody wants to get killed, but nobody's going to get killed, Michael. But at least a little accountability for what you did. Or let them know, you know what, we didn't forget. Baseball might have forgotten. Dusty Baker's going to try to convince the world that it's over and I don't get it. And I hope those 10,000 people booted a puke because the Astros deserve it. But it doesn't seem like it's nearly enough punishment for what they did.
Yeah, it's funny what Dusty said earlier in the season. You know, how long has this is this going to go on? Haven't they suffered enough? They haven't suffered at all. Now, I understand that the deal with the devil you had to make in order for them to admit what they did. And by the way, they never admitted that they did anything in the postseason. Strangely, they said they stopped cheating at the end of the regular season in 2017. Raise your hand if you believe that. That's number one. Mm-hmm. So I understand the deal they made with the devil. In order for them to talk, you gave them complete freedom. They were not going to be punished. But the one thing that I think that Manfred dropped the ball, why wouldn't you take away the piece of metal? Why wouldn't you take away the tin? Why are they forever going to be the 2017 World Champion Astros? I don't get it. That would not have been a thing that would have been punishing, quote-unquote, the players. None of them would have lost any money over it. But the status of being world champions by cheating, you could have easily removed that. And then, you know, we talked earlier with Jeff Passan. Well, would they do it again? Of course they'd do it again. They have not suffered one bit. Altuve is one of the highest paid Astros. George Springer, who was part of the team that cheated, just got a $25 million a year contract for 6 years. Carlos Correa is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Don't you think he's going to be rewarded? Come on. Why wouldn't you take the championship away from them? That's where Manfred and baseball dropped the ball. And I think it was almost like a deal with Jim Crane. Here's what we'll do. We'll fine you. You'll take away the first-round draft pick last year and this year, and that's it. No. The championship should be taken away. It
right.
should have been vacated for 2017. See, and I think that would have been enough of flesh for the fans and for the Yankee players. Instead, these guys get to go around for the rest of their life saying they won a championship in 2017. And you're going to talk about asterisks that aren't there. If they're in there in the mind, they're not there in the record books. And when we're all dead and gone, when somebody opens that record book in 100 years, the world champion Astros 2017, there's going to be no stigma attached. It should have been removed, and that's where Manfred dropped the ball.
And I agree with that, Michael. And you know how I feel about Manfred and how he handled that, for sure. But in all these sports, Michael, also the union has to be held accountable as well. You know, the union will protect the Astro players, but what about the countless players that were affected by the Astros? Does anybody care that that the judge lost out on an MVP? Does anybody care that the Yankees and the Dodgers lost out on a championship? There are way more players affected by what the Astros did than the Astros themselves. And yet the union protects the Astros but doesn't protect the victims that the Astros took advantage of. I thought a union's supposed to try to protect everybody. The same thing happened with the steroids, right? Jason Grimsley gets shot down. We're going to protect the users, but we're not going to protect the guys that want to do it right. And that's and it's so hard in defense of Manfred and Bettman and all of the disciplinary guys like George Parros in the NHL, is that there's only so much you can do because the union's going to protect. You know, the fact that with all the millions of dollars in sports, the maximum fine for Wilson is $5,000. He's got that in his wallet. He could have paid it before he left the Garden last night. That's the maximum you can fine somebody? Come on. Where's the protection for the other players?
I got to tell you something, Peter. I don't even know if you realize it.
All
right. The power of Don. So there's a woman who has a three-year-old kid in front of the TV watching the show.
Okay.
And Don went off on Wilson earlier, and the kid thought that Don was yelling at him and started crying and yelling back at the TV. That's the power of Don.
Wow.
That's what we're doing right here. Don doesn't realize the effect he has on raising children.
And he's in. Well, this is Don's also in his bag today. I mean,
oh, this is his bag.
He is comfortably.
This just
in
hits
his
different.
Fix oh, that.
Yeah, I did
Don
apologize
on Twitter
to the
apologized.
Parents.
Like that helps. The kid's crying. Kid doesn't know.
Oh, jeez, oh no.
Hey, wait. Okay, I'm not the parent. All right, I may have had influence, but I am not the parent.
I tweeted
them back, Peter.
Okay.
Saying, tell him sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, and the response was, no, they thought it was great. So.
Well, when the kid's like 15 and violent, you know, then we'll blame you.
The inside radio, right, Mike? We talked about this last week, is you kind of picture one person that you're talking to.
Right.
I'm not picturing a three-year-old.
Who are you picturing right now when you scream like that?
Well, not a three-year-old. I mean, he's not directing.
Sid Luckman!
You're picturing Sid Luckman.
No, when I'm in these conversations, I feel like I'm talking to you and Peter.
Two clown pirates.
Wow.
The beauty of it, now granted it's delayed, but still, it's pretty much a static shot all the time, right?
Yep.
I'm looking at you. I'm picturing you and Peter.
All right, so let's take the pulse of Yankee fans today. I don't know how many of the 10,000 would call in, but, I mean, what is going on? The New York Post interviewed some bleacher creatures. They said they're not going to shut up. They're going to – and I wonder how much that affects athletes. I think the things that affects athletes would be fear. There's no fear. I mean,
what do you want them to do?
Nothing. There's nothing that fans could do. And what Don's saying, I don't condone that either. And that's why, Peter, I think the Astros come in here and laugh at the boos. What does booing do? Now, I think in the small confines of an arena in the NBA, if 20,000 people are getting on you, it could be intimidating. I don't think there's any intimidation from a crowd of 10,000 in a 50,000-seat stadium screaming. I think they should scream their lungs out, but I don't know if it's going to have any effect or make the Astros feel bad. Because why should they feel bad? Because after the game, they're going to go into the clubhouse, go into the lockbox over their locker, take out their World Series ring and put it on. It wasn't taken away from them.
It wasn't taken away. And the boos, they'll feed off. They love, any great athlete loves getting booed on the road. That's great. Well, Altuve probably would get booed anyway, even if there was no allegations of cheating, just because he hit the home run 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
That gets you booed all the time. So these guys get booed at the drop of a hat. Mark Teixeira got booed in Baltimore for not signing there when there was no offer to sign. Right? So these guys love it. They eat it up. Jeter said he loved it. He loved getting booed. Like Rick DiPietro said he loved getting booed on the road. That means you're doing the right thing. So you're actually, I think you're almost doing the Astros a favor, and this is supposed to be the big punishment.
Well, that's the thing. We have to just accept the ball was already dropped. There's nothing you can do because the fans can't do anything, and Michael, you don't condone the players really doing anything about it. So there's nothing to do.
No, there's nothing to do other than within the confines of a baseball game. If Judge wants to take out Altuve on a double play, which really isn't technically allowed anymore.
Or stop, kind of or listen, destroy them, hit home runs, bat flip, saunter around the bases, do your thing. That's kind of all you can do.
That's all you can do. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Steve in Rockville Center. Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
So, yeah, Peter, basically, I'm doing well. Peter basically just said it. My best-case scenario would be for Stanton to hit a ball 470 feet, watch it until it lands, throw the bat, and then as he's running around the base, he's, like, you know, either holding his shirt shut or making it seem like he's banging a trash can. Then the Astros throw at the Yankees, and then the Yankees have all more reason to beam one of them back, and they win.
Well, I like the way you think. I mean, that is one way to do it. I mean, Judge is the one who got robbed of an MVP. I don't see him doing that, but I think they would certainly put extra relish on anything they did, which then could spur on the Astros to somehow exact some revenge on them, and then it becomes, as Jeff Passan said, a bloodbath. Let's go to Mark in Bloomfield. Mark.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted that year, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but the Houston Astros walked into the commissioner's office with reams of information about many teams cheating that year, including the Yankees and including the Red Sox. So I don't think they were. I thought many teams have been cheating, and especially that year, they weren't the only team. They got caught.
Well, that's the key, though, Mark. Yeah, I mean, they got caught. The other teams didn't. It's like your defense when you go 95 miles an hour on I-95 is, well, everybody's speeding. Well, you got caught. You get the ticket. That doesn't excuse it because you think everybody. So they brought reams and reams of proof. Did Major League Baseball discipline the New York Yankees? Never. Why would they protect the Yankees if the Yankees did as bad as what they did? Why? Even Reggie Jackson, who now works for the Astros, said, you know, a lot of teams cheat. Well, prove it. The Astros, it's been proven. A player on their team said this is what they did, and it was proven that they did it. And John Boy did his part because they have video of the trash can banging. That everybody did it. That's like saying, well, everybody did steroids. Well, guys got caught. The guys that got caught, those are the ones that get paid. Those are the ones that have to get punishment. Don't tell me everybody did it. Tell me the proof that everybody did it.
And you even admitted even the team that got caught, like the Red Sox, were not nearly as overt as Houston was, and wasn't even the same thing. I mean, they just were right in your face with it. And then and you're right, we're not even talking about the wire, which everybody believes happened. They never even got called on for that, and I think that was all part of the agreement to get the information on 2017, Michael. I don't think there's any question Altuve had a wire. Any question. And I think the Yankees know that too. And I think that's even more egregious than 2017.
They are very advanced. They're a very advanced organization in terms of getting an edge, and they went over the top. But I'm sorry, the excuse or the rationale that everybody did it, no, they didn't. Show me the ones that were disciplined. Show me the ones that had their manager fired. Show me the ones that had coaches fired. Show me the ones that got Carlos Beltran fired. Don't give me that everybody did it. Well, the Yankees did it too. Really? Then how come they haven't been punished? That is nonsense and crap. I don't want to hear that. Just accept the fact the Astros did it. Until you prove that other teams did it, then you have no kick coming. You cannot say that as a defense. You can't. It makes you sound stupid. Oh, everybody does it. Really? Show me. Show me. Let make believe I live in Missouri. Show me state. Show me the people that have done it. We know the Astros did it. The players admitted that they did it. And on a Yankee team where players come and go, why wouldn't one of the other players, if the Yankees supposedly did it, why wouldn't they come forward? Mike Fiers came forward. That is the most ridiculous defense of anything I've ever heard. Well, everybody did it. Prove it.
That's so
childish,
that
they
too.
Did it. Prove it.
That's the childish. Well, you're not denying. You're just, I'm one of many.
That Everybody is so does. Ridiculous. The Astros brought reams of, well, how come the Yankees weren't punished? Because they loved the Yankees? Well, why? The Red Sox were punished the next year, but not to the extent of what the Astros did. I actually looked at what the Red Sox did and said, you know what? That is gamesmanship. What the Astros did is cheating. You know what the Red Sox did? They looked at the sequence of signs on a computer and figured them out. And then when a guy was at second base and they saw those sequence of signs, they relayed it to the batter. To me, that's gamesmanship. What the Astros did, there was somebody in center field looking at the signs, relaying it to the dugout, and they banged trash cans to tell you what was going on. That's cheating. Well, everybody did it. No, they didn't. Until they're proven that they did it, they didn't do anything. That's an awful, awful take. Sorry, I don't accept it.
And I
dumb,
still think they were wearing
take.
A wire, too.
Well, you know, I can't say that, Don, because I don't know. I think a lot of people believe it. I have no idea.
Well, a lot of
Very
people
strange
believe
that
it.
He wouldn't let his uniform be ripped off. Very odd.
The story made no sense.
And
because of a bad tattoo. I'd like to see the tattoo now. Why don't you prove? I've never seen a shot of the tattoo that supposedly was so bad he wouldn't let his uniform be ripped off.
Hey, listen, they don't get the benefit of the doubt. They cheated 2 years before and got caught, right? And on top of that, Michael, when you look at the history of cheaters, they're probably doing something now.
I don't know if Dusty would allow it.
Well, they just don't like Dusty part of it.
Congratulations to Julius Randle. And Steph Curry, they won Eastern and Western Conference Players of the Month for April. And they deserved it. They really did. Let's take a look at this day in Yankee history brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi.
Right,
so in 2006, in its May issue, Forbes magazine estimates the New York Yankees are the first baseball team worth more than $1 billion. Currently, Forbes lists the Yankees as one of three North American teams valued at over $5 billion. And the Cowboys are first at $5.7 billion. Then the Yankees at $5.25 billion. And then the Knicks at $5 billion. Now, Andrew wasn't sure about this. So he gave me two other ones, too, Don.
I'm not sure about that either, but I got to hear the other two.
All right, 1929, Lou Gehrig hits three home runs, going 4-for-4 with 13 total bases and four ribbies in an 11-9 win over the White Sox.
I like that.
And then in 1931, in an effort to put less strain on Babe Ruth's leg, the Bambino plays first base, moving Lou Gehrig to right field. The Iron Horse commits an error in the outfield, helping the Senators to beat the Yankees 7-3. Which
See,
one do you like the best?
That's 1930s load management, Peter. moving them to first base.
Yeah, no, we're going to give you a break.
Yeah. But they didn't give him the day off, though.
They didn't think about sitting them.
No.
Well, that's enough of a break. At first base, you barely – what do you get? Maybe a pop-up, a game? Yeah.
I bet you if there was talk radio in 1931, it'd be like, can you believe that they're putting him at first base? Are you kidding me? Can't stand in the outfield? What's the matter with this bum?
Wow, you're saying Arch McDonald was taking phone calls and that's what they're telling him?
Yeah. Didn't get a lot of calls, though. Got a lot of telegrams, which was weird, really weird.
You know, there was telephones back in 1930, Don. I'm just saying.
But there wasn't talk radio, was there?
Yeah, who knows? That is there now. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years.
I know there were phones in 31, okay?
You didn't even know about the difference in time. West Coast and East Coast.
I had no idea until a couple of years ago. Thank God for baseball. That's how I found it out. You're right, but I did know there were phones in 1931. All right, but I also think that not a lot of people had them in their house to just call up and talk about Babe Ruth. And I also don't think that they had direct light. Probably had party lines. Remember, but the whole building, Peter, was on the same phone line. You had to wait for Bertha to get off the phone.
And she wanted to make a call. Now Joseph Stafford,
Klondike Five.
Joseph Stafford has the drop the mic thing to Rob Manfred. Okay. He said, the last time I checked the record books of the Tour de France, there was no winner from 1999 to 2005.
Oh, he definitely, Michael, that was the least he could have done. I don't get, but he called it a piece of tin, so I guess he didn't have a lot of respect for it to begin with, but that it was no reason why. Nobody could have stopped them. Would have stopped them?
They could stop punishing the players, but not taking away the World Series. Also, John Heyman reported a while ago the Mets met with the interim GM, Zach Scott, and the players were really angry because Davis was beloved in that room, and they felt that he should not have been fired.
All right. So it wasn't them.
No, but they you know what? It wasn't them, but they gave the executioners all the rope they needed by that stupid Diesel Donnie crap. All right, let's take a brief time out, take more phone calls about what's happened in the Bronx and what happened in St. Louis. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, we talked a lot about the Mets firing Chili Davis, their hitting coach. Here is Pete Alonso giving his reaction to Davis's firing. This is from today.
So I'm going to be completely honest. So I found out on Twitter while I was eating my post-game meal, and I talked to Zach, our GM. It was a professional talk. Then I gave Slate and Show two big old hugs, and then I cried up my locker for a little bit.
And then he was explained by the GM, the interim GM, why it happened.
It's confusing for me. And listen, I respect everybody who made that decision, but to me, it just doesn't make sense right now. But I know that the guys coming in, they're great minds, they're great people. And I know that the people who are in charge in the office, I know that they want to win. Everybody wants to win. But I guess from a results standpoint, let's say two and a half years, the results have been there. And to me, it still doesn't make sense. And I they're great guys, but I'm more perplexed because of like the actual results that they've been able to provide for the team.
Well, there you have it. I don't like what we heard from Passan earlier. You know, they didn't agree with the way Chile went about his job because he's not an analytics animal like everybody else has to be. But they were going to let him do it. So if it worked, they would have, then it would have been okay. But it didn't work over 21, 22 games, so they fire him. It makes you look so ridiculous. If they would have fired him at the beginning of this year, I would have understood it. And then, you know, when we asked Passan that, he said, well, how would it look after, you know, they were one of the best offensive teams last year? Exactly. So how does it look now? Because of 22 games that last year was erased?
That's what I pushed back with Passan when he said it. I mean, we live in a town where Joe Girardi was fired after being a game away from going to the World Series. I mean, it would have made sense. You have a new owner. You have a new president coming in, hiring a new general manager, and then having to hire another one. That's when changes happen, right, Michael?
Yep.
You know, it makes sense. But to do it now, and now, you know, it's the complete opposite. I guess I was wrong. I talked about players being coddled and the players maybe having something to do with this, and I thought that because it just seemed ironic that at the same time they were making up a coach, they were complimenting. But I don't have any reason to believe that Pete Alonso is lying. You just, one of your best offensive players, you just ticked them off. So I don't believe in coddling players, Michael, but at the same time, I don't know if I don't want to be in the business of upsetting him either. So, I mean, he's trying to step up as a leader, I guess, calling out his own organization for a decision they made. Now, he did it as nicely as possible.
Well, you know,
he still did it.
His hands are tied a little bit. I mean, he is still a kid. I think, and we've talked about this a lot, why he's been put in the position of being a leader on the Mets when he's been there for a minute. It just doesn't happen. It's just too much responsibility for him. He should not be the spokesman for the team.
But here's the thing, Michael. It's that there's nobody else is going to do it.
You're right. That's why he's in this situation.
I don't know. Did Lindor speak? Because I guess he'd be somebody you want to get a reaction from. Dom Smith is turning out to be a star, but he hasn't been here very long. You know, Conforto's got one foot out the door, right? We don't know what's going to happen to him by the end of the season. So I'm saying this team really needs some leadership here. And I don't know if they have, like, who is the guy?
Nobody.
Who is it? I mean,
that's why this guy is talking.
Yeah, so that's what I mean, Mike. I'm defending him saying that if he doesn't speak, does anybody speak? He probably looks around the room and says, I'm kind of the face of this franchise outside of DeGrom, but I'm an everyday player, and everybody comes to me after every game.
Well, it should be Conforto and Nimmo. Those should be the guys. They've been there enough.
I know, but they're, you know, like I said, Conforto's got a contract situation. He may not even be here at the end of the season. Who knows what's going to happen with him? Nimmo's a nice player. He's not a star. He's not Alonso. He's not Lindor. He's not Conforto. He's not Smith. You know, so listen, one of the reasons the Mets won back in the 80s was getting Keith Hernandez. Not just Keith Hernandez, the hitter, the former MVP. He was a leader, Michael. He had played in the World Series. He knew how to win. And that was a big part of why they picked him up. Not just his bat, but he became the leader of the team. Kirk Gibson with the 88 Dodgers, right? That team couldn't get out of their own way. He comes there with a ring from 84 and straightened them out. I think the Mets need somebody to lead them here. And it can't be a kid.
Well, can I ask a question, though? I'll ask this to either of you.
Please.
Based on what we just heard from Pete, first of all, do you believe it fully? And does it change how you feel about the joking that they were doing about their imaginary hitting coach? Or does it just show that they don't have any idea of how their words could potentially affect things in the clubhouse?
Well, I think that they gave management an excuse with this fake hitting coach. I mean, that's just a bad look. And around baseball, it's a bad look. They're coming up with a fake hitting coach. But I don't think they don't realize the power of the stupidity.
Listen, I don't think he's making anything up, Peter. But I do think there was a level of disrespect that they didn't think about with that whole thing, and Lonzo probably legitimately feels bad about it. Like, I don't think anybody wanted anybody fired, but I still think they didn't think he'd get fired, but they maybe weren't listening to him either. I don't know, but Pete really genuinely seemed like, wow, I'm surprised they did that. He probably feels bad for it.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Nick in Long Island. Nick.
Thank you for taking my call, guys.
You got it. What's up?
Just a couple of things. I have no use for today, the 4th. I'm looking forward to the 6th.
How come?
Well, I won that contest last week.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. Good, Nick. Yeah. Clubhouse Confidential.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Good for you. Enjoy that. It should be fun.
That's going to be fun. Alex Rodriguez,
and
Buster Olney.
My great-grandfather ain't George Blander either.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that you said that after I called in.
Yeah, but Nick, you're kind of being a non sequitur. I don't remember that. It doesn't say Nick Blanda here, so thank you for, like, confusing the show completely. Wow. Let's go to Nitty in South Orange. Nitty. Wow.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Nitty?
Good. So, quick Yankee point, and I actually had, like, a theory on Steve Cohen, but okay. I think the Yankees themselves should not look into hitting anybody or really worrying about that because, I mean, this team's 500 finally. So I think for them it's just, all right, the season kind of starts now. We're only 2.5 back of first place. Let's not worry about it. I think it's really on the fans to, you know, not necessarily boo, but, you know, appropriately berate the Astros, tell somebody their sister smells or she's ugly, whatever it is.
Devastating. That'll cripple them emotionally.
I don't think the Yankees will do anything, Nitty, unless they're provoked. And then I think they'd be very willing to do something. So I don't think they'll do something without being provoked. What was your other point?
Right. So the message is interesting is when Steve Cohen came in and they kind of held on to a lot of the coaching staff, whether, you know, and obviously I'm sure Sandy had something to do with it because he brought some of these guys on. But some of them were also brought on by, what's his face? I'm already forgetting the general manager they just had, Brody.
Oh, Brody Van Wagenen.
Guys in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'd think that they'd clear out some of these guys, but I feel like Steve Cohen, he's kind of has a pulse on Mets fans. He's on Twitter. Even, you know, deactivated his Twitter when he was getting so much heat for that stuff with the stock market or whatever. But I think he's kind of using these guys as maybe like fall guys. But I think it's super dangerous because, you know, what happens if DeGrom has a few bad starts in a row or Syndergaard comes back and he struggles? Does the pitching coach get fired? And then when does Rojas get fired? I think it's just a dangerous precedent that they set.
Oh, it's very dangerous. And we've said this over and over, Nitty. It's going to be great. He's on Twitter and interacting with Met fans until it gets ugly, like it did with the GameStop thing. Then it got ugly, and he deactivated it, and now he's back. But he's going to use it. It's going to be fun unless they don't do well.
Yeah, now, I see that. I see that pattern repeating itself.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be on Twitter, off Twitter, on Twitter, off Twitter. It's just going to depend.
But make no mistake, Peter. If this does not turn around, Rojas will be next.
All right, so Francisco Lindor, according to Steve from Gelb, was on the firing, said, quote, it broke my heart. I was sad.
Again, I have no reason to believe these guys aren't genuine about it. But if you're that heartbroken, then, you know, the imaginary, maybe they were just playing around. Mike, they probably didn't put too much thought into it.
Who knows? Maybe Chile was in on the imaginary.
Maybe. I mean, there's been talk about that it was all just a big, whatever it was. I mean, all right, so let's look at it. Let's take it at face value. Okay, they just made a move that really upset their star players. As much as I don't want players to be coddled, as much as I don't want them dictating policy, is it the best idea in the world in the 21st century to do something that's going to tick off two of your biggest stars where they're going out publicly disagreeing with it?
Well, it's not
is that
what
a
you
good
want.
Idea either?
It's not what you want. All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll take more phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes or 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So during the break, I was going to talk about the fact that the Mets fired their hitting coach, and they did it at the right time because, you know, it's almost guaranteed win night if they could even scratch a run across, because Jacob DeGrom was going to be starting tonight. Now, you might notice that I used the word was. John Heyman just reports that Jacob DeGrom is scratched tonight, what's described as side tightness. Remember, they could have had him pitch yesterday, Don. They chose to give him an extra day, and now he's scratched today with side tightness. And all you could do if you're a Met fan is just shake your head and go, what could go wrong worse than that? Because he's the most important player of the 26 players on your team.
Well, the thing you get, like, the thing with DeGrom is that, all right, well, you had a tough loss last night, but you know DeGrom's going to give you an excellent chance to win, get back to 500, and it's important to win when your team makes a decision like they made. And now Miguel Castro is going to be your starting pitcher tonight, and you're going to have to try to piece together a game. And really, it's tough.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's scary, man. It really is. They're so fragile, right? Pitchers in general.
You know, I was talking about this on the game over the weekend with David, and you know, you look at the Tigers, and they're trying to build their team by building a young pitching staff. And I don't know if that's the way to go, Don. We've seen it twice with the Mets not work out. Generation K, and then Harvey, Mats, DeGrom. Who else was in there? Syndergaard, and the kid that ended up signing with Wheeler.
Yeah.
How many last? I mean, how many get hurt? I would not build around pitching. I take my chance. I'd get a lot of pitching, but I wouldn't like waste a lot of draft picks on pitching because they all get hurt. Now,
they're
I'm not saying that he's terribly hurt right now, and he did have Tommy John way back at the beginning, but I mean, it just shows you how fragile it is, Don. How do you build a team around pitching? Build a team around hitting and try to get the best pitching that you could get, but don't invest that much time and effort into pitching, because when does it work out? Nice. Luis Severino, one of the few Yankee pitchers that they've developed, hasn't pitched in nearly 3 years.
But then you go out and you don't have the pitching, so you have to spend big money for it, and not every team can do that, right? I mean, you know, Detroit doesn't probably feel like, I'm not going to be in contention for a Gerrit Cole when somebody like that becomes available. Although it's a big market team, it's still not an attractive place to go right now. It's so hard. Plus, you're talking about a guy that this day and age, Michael, they're making 30 starts. You got 162 games. So he's, as great as the pitcher is, you know, as great as DeGrom is, he can only affect like 30. You got 132 other games you got to play and try to find a way to win. So, yeah, you got to hit, right? That's where the investment has to be. And when's enough, right?
And now, because as you said, Castro, what can he go? 2 innings? Yesterday, Lucchese couldn't get out of the fourth, essentially.
Right.
So, I mean, you're covering a lot of innings out of a bullpen. That's a little bit questionable.
And you think when you said, like recently, where you had, you know, DeGrom and Syndergaard and Harvey and Wheeler, and, you know, but then Harvey gets hurt, and Syndergaard's got Tommy John, and then Wheeler ends up getting dealt away. And so you go from you got this embarrassment of riches to now you're looking for pitching. You know, you saw that in 2015, right? They had all this great pitching, and they still had to have Gesellman and Lugo make big time starts for him down the stretch just to be able to get in the playoffs, because guys just get hurt. So you almost have to have like 7-8 starters during the course of the year, or at least have guys in your bullpen that can spot start. Because even if you don't put them on the IL, they're going to miss starts.
Well, that's what David Cone told me years ago. He was ahead of his time. He said, don't tell me you've got 5 starters coming out of spring training. You need 7. And now I think you need 8 or 9, especially coming off a 60-game season. But that's not even a big story with the Mets. Big story with the Mets is they fired Chili Davis yesterday. After a short amount of time, the team is not hitting, especially their star, Francisco Lindor. But you look at Alonso, he had 2 doubles yesterday. So he's hitting.
He's starting to warm up, yeah.
What was that?
He's starting to warm up.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing all right.
And you know what? I think he, from the cuts we played earlier, he likes Chili Davis a lot. And somebody brought up to Alonso, you know, we played you the cut that he said he was crying when he found out, you know, the new age baseball that they're bringing in a guy like Quarterbaum, who's more of an analytics guy. He said, the more things change, it's still old-time baseball. So he's defending having a guy like Chili there. But, you know, the fact that they didn't hit, the fact that Lindor is in this terrible slump, and you just gave him $341 million. The optics are, let's make a change. Let's throw some chum to the fans. And that's what they get. Maybe they should have hired their imaginary hitting coach. I'm not quite sure. And then the other story in baseball, New York Yankees playing the Astros tonight. First time Yankee fans will have an opportunity to send their greetings to the Astros since what happened in 2017. Now, they've been back since 2017, but we didn't find out that they cheated until after the 2019 season. There were no fans last year in games, and the Yankees didn't even play the Astros, but now they're playing them. It'll be, I'm sure, the full 20% here at the stadium, so that's like 10,850, I think, and I'm sure they'll be full-throated and very, very loud, and it should be interesting to see how this three-game set progresses.
But your ultimate prediction is that nothing's going to happen of real significance.
In terms of on the field, unless they're provoked, I think the slightest thing might provoke them. The slightest thing.
But
like
if
somebody gets thrown at or somebody goes up and in, that will give them, you know, complete carte blanche to go back at them. Now, Jeff Passan, regarding Jacob DeGrom, said, unclear whether this is an issue that's likely to linger. Mets will be addressing it later. DeGrom's injury, deemed by one source as right side tightness, isn't believed to be serious. Another source said, expectation is DeGrom will miss only one start. Still, anything having to do with DeGrom's health is taken extraordinarily seriously, and understandably so. A lot of stuff on the buffet line.
Yep.
And then the Rangers. Will there be retribution for what Wilson did? Because the league didn't exact any retribution. They didn't punish him enough. $5,000 is joke money. And, you know, one thing I didn't ask you, Don, there's nobody on the team right now that could throw this guy a beating. Is there anybody in their minor leagues that they could call up and have him come up and say, okay, your job is to beat this guy up?
I mean, there is a player. His name escapes me. Maybe Anthony can remind. Gjertsen. He's got a bunch of penalty minutes down in Hartford. But I haven't seen anything that they're calling him up. They could because Kreider's day-to-day and now Panarin's out. So
can they get Ty Domi out of retirement?
Oh, there you go.
I saw Ty.
I hope he doesn't play.
So.
Say it again, Don. Please.
Ty would not put up for that at all.
Where did you see Ty, Don?
At the Garden.
Nice.
This is going back a ways because his son was, you know, son's in the league. And would play in the Rangers when he was with Montreal and got to see him. He wouldn't stand for that. But
and shouldn't.
You know, Ty also, Ty would instigate too. So, you know, there's a different time and a different world. But, we'll see if they do make a kind of move like that. David Quinn said they are going to respond. We'll just see if they respond with the bodies that they have. I'll be on the call for that tomorrow.
Oh, you will?
So I'll be looking forward to that. Yeah, I'll be at the Garden tomorrow. A little garden party for the K-Show.
Nice. Will you have to get a test? Or because you're vaccinated, you don't need tests anymore?
Tell me how great my wife is. She went out and got 10, what do they call them? For the pass, the lanyards?
Yeah.
So that I can, with my credential, I can then put my vaccination card in the lanyard and go into the Garden and show it to them. And it's clear on both sides so I can flip it. I don't know if you've used yours yet, but they got to be able to have access to both sides. And it's just around my neck.
I didn't know that. I have a picture of the front. I'm not going to take the card with me because what if I lose it?
Well, you better take a picture of the back because when I used it at the Garden last week, they wanted to see both sides.
Interesting.
Really? What's on the back?
I don't have it in front of me.
A nude picture
of
the guy who gets
friendly.
The vaccine. A nude picture. So it's a nude picture of Don on the back.
Although there's something on the back that I guess triggers some sort of information. So just make sure you take a picture of both sides.
Okay, so here's Kyle Tucker of the Astros. He was not there in 2017, talking about the reception he thinks he's going to get from the stadium crowd.
You'll be in right field tonight. You'll be in right field tonight with a lot of rowdy people behind you. What are you kind of expecting from tonight and the reception that you guys will receive when you get on the field?
I don't really know. We're just trying to go out there and play a game. I'm sure it's going to be a great game between us and them. And, you know, that's really what we just focus on. We don't really have to – I mean, our job is to go out there and play baseball, not worry about what fans or anyone says. So that's just what we're focusing on.
Okay.
You know, why are they asking Kyle Tucker that? There's five guys you should ask. The four infielders who were part of the 2017 team.
Yeah. But,
and then Lance McCullers.
Yeah, but I think it's
but it's going to affect everyone.
The field. Yeah, but he'll
bullying,
be out there in right field and.
Well, unless they throw things, unless he's afraid of noise.
No, but
the
he's one of the players.
Eight players remaining from 2017, by the way.
But he's one of the players that if the fans boo, he's going to be right in the line of it. That's probably why they asked.
I guess. Let's go to the phones. Let's see what you're thinking. Let's go to Steven in Staten Island. Steven.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Steven.
Steve.
Nice to talk to you. Yeah, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on Carlos Correa and how he has to get dealt with. All the stuff he was talking to with Rosenthal, I don't like the way he went about it. He had no sorrow about it, nothing. He's blatantly a cheater. He knows everybody cheated. And now there's going to be nothing, no repercussions. You don't think – I'm sorry, I'm dealing with Corona. But
oh, I hope you're okay.
It's all right. But you don't think he's supposed to be dealt with or anything?
Well, I mean, Steve, if he's dealt with, then it's frontier justice. I mean, why do the Yankees have to be the ones to deal with him? I mean, if Major League Baseball chose not to, I wonder if the umpires tonight are going to be put on high alert and actually send out warnings to both teams before the game even starts. I don't think they should do that.
No.
But Correa has not been at all a bit remorseful about it. And in fact, he's doubled down. Well, if you're going to be the bad guy, you might as well double down. But in terms of the Yankees dealing with it, I mean, is it really Domingo Germán's job? I mean, the guys that were on that team that are pitchers, Severino's on the IL, Montgomery was on that team. Chapman is the guy that you look at and go, I wonder, but if Chapman's coming in, he's been perfect this year, does he really want to sully his season by drilling somebody, and why does he have to be judge, jury, and executioner?
It's a great opportunity, though, for a pitcher to endear himself to his teammates, right? Now you got to be smart about it, because these are very meaningful games for the Yankees. We're talking about a 500 team, so they can't really afford to mess around. And maybe the opportunity does not present itself in any of these games. But 10-0, seventh inning, I don't know who could be on the mound. Whoever says, all right, maybe this is an opportunity to plunk Correa, to plunk Altuve. Do it properly, where there's no head hunting, but hit him in the back. Say, hey, just want to let you know we're not happy about what you did. And then they issue the warnings, and then we move about. And if I'm either of those two guys, I get it and go to first base. I mean, they can't be that brain dead to not realize what went on here. And then you go on. You say frontier justice. It makes it sound like it's just so evil. This was a part of the game for 100 years, Michael. And now it's kind of politically incorrect to do. But when the same thing with the Rangers, when nobody seems to be coming to your defense and the league didn't do anything and you're upset about it. Now, maybe the Yankees are over it. I don't know. Rangers certainly are. I'm hearing comments coming out of that Ranger room. They're red hot about the league not disciplining Tom Wilson. Well, then do something about it. And if the Yankees are upset that Judge lost out on an MVP and they lost out on a championship and they're sickened by this, then do something about it. Be smart, but you can still do something.
Well, it's a little harder in baseball, though, Don.
No, it's not. You throw at somebody.
Yeah, but that's I don't know. Anyone can take their shot in hockey. Anyone can have their moment and take it. In baseball, it's basically like you said, the pitcher becomes judge, jury, and executioner. And I feel like we do kind of talk out of both sides of our mouth on this.
How so?
Because we want people to be better than that. We don't want the game to be about that. But we're also like, we got to do something about it. What if nothing happens? It's kind of damned if they do.
Yeah, but I think there's been this political incorrectness about hitting somebody. You don't want to hit somebody and ruin their career. You don't have to ruin their career. Guys get hit. We've all played baseball and gotten hit. Again, no excuse to go after over above the shoulders and buzz them like they would back in the day. But get hit in a hip with a fastball doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal. Right? Does
it? It's the people 20 years ago wouldn't have been a big deal. Today it's a big deal.
But why has it become a big deal?
Because it just has.
Well, because I think that we view the world differently.
I don't want to.
Now, and there's this political correctness, and what happens is real smart people take advantage of it, knowing that there aren't going to be any repercussions. The Astros know, I'm protected by my union. Nothing's going to happen to me. No, there's the Don Drysdales and the Bob Gibsons are gone now. The Nolan Ryans, nobody's going to drill me. There's no accountability, so guys, take advantage. And if you want to live in that world where, hey, that's just the way that it is, then that's the way that it is. But if you're really upset about it and want to do something about it, here's a way that you can. And I don't know when in the world that all of a sudden you go, oh,
you're going to ruin somebody's career. You know how many guys got hit and their careers were never ruined?
And there are guys that have hit that some guys don't know how to throw at people.
Well, there's some guys that don't have the stomach.
You look at what Chapman did last year to Brasseau.
There's not one member of this Yankee.
That's not the way to throw people.
There's not one guy in this Yankee. Forget it.
And well, Chapman is a veteran, Don, and he threw at Brasseau and threw at his head, and if it would have hit him, he would have died.
Well, that's the wrong thing to do. I'm just saying forget it because we stepped on each other and I got frustrated, not at you. But – no, but I'm sorry. You're a professional athlete, okay? You should be able to throw a ball and hit somebody somewhere where it's not going to cripple them. Aiming at their head is just stupid. But hitting them between the numbers, hitting them in the fanny and the hip, that's okay. That's all right. It happens.
But do you think that that's enough to make them feel sorry for what they did in 2017?
We're sitting here like literally hyping up Peter talking about to Jeff Passan, a legitimate question, how engaged are you in this game? For what, for 10,000 fans to boo him? Oh, my God, I don't know if they're going to be able to get through the game. But going to the plate knowing I'm going to get plunked, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but sometime I'm going to get hit by a pitch, that's the least you could do to him, the least you can do.
Now let's go to Jorge in California. Jorge.
Hey, guys. Okay, so I called last year. I said I'd go to Petco Park and the Yankees played the Astros in the LCS, and I did a loudspeaker and booed them, whatever. That was little baby stuff. Now, I'm going to sound crazy. I'm going to go be extreme. I'm so sorry. I'm not a bad guy. The only way to scare these guys is for the fans to take control. Okay? We agree on that. Though I'm not a bad guy. A group of fans need to chase the Houston Astros off the infield, the 5-4 infield. They've got to get chased out. No, don't hit nobody. Chase them into the dugout.
Well, what do you mean, chase? Wait. What do you mean, chase?
Jump into the...
You're going to get arrested.
All right, Jorge, thank you. You're not a bad guy. God. You just proved you are. So you want fans to jump on the field and chase the... first of all, the drunk people that would jump on the field, the Astros could probably beat the living piss out of them. I mean, are you really... did you see the Baltimore cult that did that? What was that, Mike Curtis? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, Jorge. I know you listen to the show all the time. So you're advocating fans jumping onto the field and running so the Yankees would forfeit the game.
I think we need to really break down what just happened because that was something special.
Goodness gracious.
The anatomy of a phone call.
That was because his setup sounded reasonable. Hold on. Don't think I'm a bad guy. Let me just ease my way into it. What I'm suggesting is fans jump on the field and physically attack the Astros.
No, listen, don't throw. See, anybody going to the game tonight, all you can do is boo. Don't throw anything on the field. Don't jump on the field.
I mean, if you're close enough, you can yell things. You can yell crazy things that they can hear. That's it.
Well, that's the beauty of 10,000 people. You're going to be able to hear certain words. It's not going to be a din of sound. It's going to be certain words that will pierce through
a sound of
10,000 people.
Well, maybe that's what they should do, though. Maybe the fans should organize, and rather than a constant boo, you should keep it utterly silent so the things that you yell about them cheating just have to get out on TV.
They're going to still laugh at that, though, right?
Get out on TV? What is it? You sound like the guy from California.
What do you mean?
Who matters if it gets out on TV? Does that make the Astros feel bad?
Yeah, I think it's embarrassing.
No, you got to make them hear it, not people on TV.
Well, those things both will happen at the same time, Michael. I'm not saying you just stand next to a camera. I'm saying if someone's up to bat and it is utterly silent and someone sitting as close as humanly possible to home plate yell something about cheating at a piercing level with no other noise, they will hear it and TV will hear it. And I think that is embarrassing. Yeah, I do think that would be embarrassing.
You and Jorge deserve each other.
I don't think I'm on the same level as Jorge.
No, but thank God for Jorge. Otherwise, this point would be out on its own and
foolish. Unbelievable. Really, he thought it was a good idea for citizens to jump on the field and chase the Astros into the dugout. Like Bregman would go, I got to get out of here. He'd take a bat and start smashing heads is what he would do.
Yeah, do you think any of them would run into the dugout in fear?
I think either way it's a terrible idea that would be a disgrace to the Yankees, baseball, and everyone. It would be a disaster.
And you'd be arrested.
And by the way, and then you become the heel.
Right. And the
Astros
they
are no longer the heels.
Right.
You are.
That's, you know what? That's a great point. Poor Astros. Look what they have to go through.
Yeah, enough is enough already. They've been through so much.
And all, yeah, typical New York piece of garbage running on the field. Yeah, that's no. But really, that was an historic bad idea.
That might be, I don't know, you guys have been around a while, Don, the longest with me. That might be one of the worst phone calls in the history of our show. I think that might also warrant, now, you can stop me, that might warrant a one-month ban for Jorge. I don't know if you can come back on the air from that.
Was it worse than Ballard?
Well, Ballard was just an unbelievably poor performance. He didn't say anything objectionable. This guy just, he was like advocating civil unrest.
Do you really want?
That's correct.
Here's why I'd advocate a lifetime ban.
Don!
Here, listen, hear me out. Do you really want to hear him say anything to us again?
You know what, Don? He may represent the thoughts of a certain faction of our audience where it's important for us to know what they're thinking.
I want to know what they're thinking.
Maybe he's just rethinking how bad an idea that was, and he'll make amends. Maybe.
Luis Rojas just said, in the wake of Chili Davis and Tom Slater firings, it's disrespectful to the team to think about his own job status and security. He's focused on the task at hand as Met manager. That's from Dishaw Thosar, who covers the Mets for the Daily News. Wow.
He might be next, Michael.
Now, Tim Britton says that DeGrom is getting an MRI on his side. He's experienced a tightness for a couple of days. They don't go in that tube willingly, okay? Because as you all know, that's an awful thing to have happen.
Yes. I'm not being critical of the Mets, but it is so typical with injuries, no matter who is in charge, that it starts off one way and then progresses. It just gets worse and worse by the day. This one's getting worse and worse by the minute. Right? Big deal. It's
are you
okay.
Suggesting?
A little pain on the side. Might only miss one start. Now, it's been 15 minutes, Peter. He's already in an MRI tube.
Yeah, no, shoving him in that tube.
By the time the show ends, his head's going to be amputated. It's going to be something else.
They had no other choice, Peter.
They had to remove his head.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pickard designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. This is one of those shows that there's so much stuff going on. 4.5 hours doesn't quite cover it, but we're going to continue to try. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. A lot of people want to talk about the Yankees and the Mets situation. We'll get to you and the Rangers stuff. Congratulations to the Knicks. They won the second game of their six-game road trip. They beat up on the Grizzlies 118-104. Back-to-back wins. They got into Memphis at 4 a.m. in the morning yesterday. They had every right to be just gassed and not compete with the Grizzlies, and they did what they had to do. Another big game for Julius Randle, and turning back the clock is Derrick Rose. That's going to be one of the best deals in the NBA this year to get him for Dennis Smith Jr. and a second-round pick. He's been unbelievable. He's 32. He's playing like he's 22. So next up, Denver, then Phoenix, then the Clippers, then the Lakers. So they're 2-0 on this six-game trip. And, I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing. I mean, let's not doubt them to do anything right now. Jeff Van Gundy was asked yesterday, could they, go on this magical run to go to the finals? And he laughed. He said he named all the great players in the East. He said, yeah, if they all got together in a room and said they're not playing – he said, but if they win the first round, you're one turned ankle away from winning the second round, so you never know. But the Knicks are playing great, inspired basketball. Congratulations to them. They have a lot to be proud of. That was a game they could have phoned in.
Go ahead, Peter. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, at this point, I just wonder where Knicks fans' expectations go.
Sky high. Let them go.
Well, you might as well. I mean, you absolutely have to be seriously expecting to compete and win a first-round series against Atlanta. That's in play, right? And then you start thinking about whether or not you could compete in a second-round series. I mean, The real – listen, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do against the best teams on this road trip. But, I mean, I'm just happy for Knicks fans. This team is and Michael, I mean, your Julius Randle take just looks worse every day, doesn't it?
Like, not the MVP of the league. That was what I did apologize for. What would you like me to do, remove an arm?
I just want to just mention it again.
Jerk.
Hey, listen, you got to own these things, Michael.
I owned it. I said I was sorry.
I know, but.
And I still don't believe he's going to win the MVP.
But that was not the argument. But anyway.
I mean, let's go to Frank in Brooklyn. Frank.
All right. Hey, first of all, do not ban Jorge, okay? At the very least, it was an entertaining call. Second of all, true. I have to disagree with you. If there is a mob of people running at Jose Altuve, there's no way he starts swinging a bat at people. He's going to run for his life for the locker room.
But well, then, how about Bregman and how about Gurriel, who's a pretty big guy, and how about who am I missing?
I don't care how big
Correa.
You are, there's a mob of people running at you.
Well, when you say mob, Frank, are you saying that all 10,000 people are going to spill on the field? Well, yeah, then they would run to
so
the
this
dugout.
Is Chambliss after the home run. You want that.
If 100 people storm on the field, they're running.
But Frank, so think do about you that, advocate Frank. For that?
All right, so let's say that they did that. 100 people
better.
Run
I'm
on the
advocating
field.
Advocating not only for that, but I want spears and spikes and axes and
wow.
Well, let's say they do that. Let's say it's like really it's not going to come across as embarrassing to the Astros if they run into the dugout if people are wielding machetes. They're going to be, oh, the poor Astros. Look what they had to go through. And we're looking at how New York's a piece of garbage and Yankee fans are a piece of garbage. No, that helps the Astros. Now they become the victim.
Here's
now
what
it's like,
bothers
everybody
me.
Everybody feels sorry for the Astros because nobody should have to go through that. That would be the theme.
Here's what bothers me, though, Don and Peter. Everybody who listens to this show knows that I might be the most vindictive person they've ever listened to.
True.
But I don't advocate violence. So I'm defending that don't come on the field, and it makes me look like I'm not vindictive. I'm totally vindictive. But not, I mean, the people that I hate, that I want to get back at, wouldn't do anything illegal to get back at them. I've been scheming my whole life to get back at them in a legal way.
That's right.
Not well, to you don't storm make... the field with torches.
Right. You don't want to make martyrs out of them, because that's what would happen. And it's just also, it's illogical.
Now I want your Don. You've been with me from the very beginning, except for the couple of days when I didn't talk to you at the beginning. Jorge is calling back to apologize. Should I allow him to or not?
Yes, I want to hear this.
Okay, how do you take that back, Jorge? How?
Okay, I just want to say that when I made the call, I let Andrew know that this might get me banned. I knew it was wrong. Okay. Second of all,
so you're gonna blame it on Andrew?
No. Andrew's not Andrew's fault. He loves the entertainment. He's doing the right job. He's a great producer.
That's right.
Now, check this out. Now, it's not a good idea. I don't condone violence. I just wanted to go to the extreme. I wanted to bring entertainment to the show. The show's amazing, but I knew I could stir it up a little bit. That's the only reason I did it. I love you guys so much. Please don't ban me. I'm going to cry. I cannot deal without you guys.
Here's the deal, Jorge. If you cry right now, I will not ban you.
That's oh, my sick. God.
Yeah, if you can elicit tears right now, you have an open pass every day. Go. 5 seconds.
Michael, I'm so sorry. I'm going to do it again.
All right, call back tomorrow. Good job by you.
You know what? Because you know what? Here's why I love it, and I'm not going to ban him. Because he actually wanted to entertain.
And guess what? He succeeded. He succeeded. It was the best call we've had all day. Let's be honest. It has led to more conversation than anything else all day. So, Jorge, fantastic job out of you.
So the worst call and the best call, back to back for him.
Let's go to Laura in Staten Island. Laura, see if you could top Jorge.
Come on.
Here you are. Come on, Laura.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. I have a comment about Jorge, actually, since you just put him on before me.
Okay.
I think the way the Yankees need to do this is basically they need to go out there and use their bats as their weapon and beat them in a full, clean sweep. That's it. The game is an American pastime. That's how it should be played. Not with getting vengeance or having people jump on the field. I mean, you know, their fans are pretty crazy, the Yankee fans. I mean, I grew up in a family of them, but... you know, that's not the way to deal with it. The way to deal with it is professionally
and just sweep them. Get your bats in order and do what you need to do.
You're absolutely right. You very, very well said. That's the best answer you could give them. And you know what? No matter what happens today, no matter what, like, retribution they somehow may get, doesn't get them back into the World Series in 2017. It's not going to take away the Astros' World Series title. And if the Yankees sweep, you can't say they got revenge. You didn't get revenge. You got you lost a World Series because they cheated. You lost a chance to play the Dodgers in the World Series. That's a pretty stiff thing.
One of our listeners, Jeremy, on Twitter made a great point. Perfect opportunity to release the bullpen Coyotes.
A wild coyote.
That's right. That's what you do here.
Let's go to Jose and JFK. What's up, Jose?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on with you?
I can't complain. Michael, I got a confession to make, and please don't get mad. This is out of respect, but man, listen, your wife, man, out of respect. I'm saying this out of respect. Please,
respectfully, you're please, saying respectfully.
Yeah, no offense, no offense.
Yeah, no offense, no nothing. Yo, your wife is a fox, man. I don't know how you did it with that big old head of yours and all like that, but. I applaud you, my brother. Oh, my God.
Wow, and he said it respectfully. That's what I liked about it. It was respectful.
Peter, if he didn't say it respectfully, I'd be annoyed. But he said he had a caveat.
He
I'm going to say it respectfully.
And
your
he
wife's
stuck
a
to
smoke
it.
Show. You're an ugly, big-headed freak. I don't know how you did it. So I thank you. I really do thank you, Jose. I take that as a compliment.
Okay, but with the Yankees, guys, they should just devour them. I mean, they should just go ahead. I'm not a Yankee fan, but.
Oh, no. Oh, he lost it. I mean, you know, at least he got the Jody comment in. That was important.
That was the most important thing.
That was the money quote. Let's go to David in New York. Hello, David.
Hey, guys. I got to say, I'm a big fan of you, and I'm also a big Capitals fan. I grew up in Maryland.
All right, so what do you think?
I have it wrong here. I really think you have it wrong. So, first of all, I thought he was going to be suspended. No question. I have to say that. But I think the worst thing he did was hitting Buznevich.
I agree.
Because, but what everybody's going crazy about, but hitting Buznevich was not a he should be suspended for life kind of event. Everyone's got to settle down. The what happened with Panarin is Panarin's fault. I mean, you don't jump on top of a guy who's twice your size and then kind of cry that he beat me up. You know?
Hold on, wait a minute. Wait. All right, Panarin's coming to the defense of Buznevich. You just admitted that he had to be defended because that was egregious what Wilson did to Buznevich. Now, Panarin is not as big, and he's not a physical player. He's a finesse player.
No, of course.
So he jumps in on Wilson, and so Wilson's got to pull his hair and throw him down when he can just basically pick him up and put him into the corner by himself. I mean, the reaction was ridiculous.
No, I hear you, but let me just say this. There were two guys jumping on Wilson. I'm not defending Wilson's actions, but you don't know in the heat of the scrum who's on you and what's going on. The point is, Panarin, he did a great thing, and he's a leader and all that great stuff, but you can't jump on top of Tom Wilson.
Well, you can do whatever you want at that point because Wilson's a gutless puke for punching Buznevich, who's in a prone position, who can't defend himself. So Panarin comes in to defend him, and then you drive his head into the ice? I understand that I'm with Peter, that I think it's a lot harder to look at what happened with Panarin and say, well, he purposely drove his head into the ice. But he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt because the guy's been suspended five times. But, hey, Panarin jumps on – you don't think that somebody's going to jump on you when you're pummeling a defenseless player? I'm sorry, Wilson doesn't have a kick coming here. I'm sorry.
But the point is he doesn't know it's Panarin. That's my point. What if it's, big guy who's – and he has to defend
himself? Why would it be a big guy? Wait a minute, because you're a hockey guy. The Rangers are on the power play. Wilson knows who's on the ice. That's why he did what he did in the first place. First of all, the Rangers don't have a big guy, but Kevin Rooney is not going to be on the power play. He knows exactly who's on the ice, okay? He just pummeled Buznevich. He sees Zibanejad's to his right, so it's either Panarin or it's Adam Fox or it's Ryan Strome jumping him. Any of the three of them are not physical players, huge players, so he knows that whoever's jumping him is somebody that he can treat like a rag doll. So, come on. You said it could be a big guy. He knows who's on the ice. He sees Zibanejad to his right. He just beat the garbage out of Buchnevich, so it's one of three people that are going to jump him. It's going to be Fox, Panarin, or Strom. So give me a break about that he didn't know who was on the ice. He, believe me, he's crazy smart, man. He's a punk and he's a thug, but he's smart and he's a really good player, which makes him even more dangerous. You can't plead ignorance here, okay? This isn't some ignoramus who doesn't know any better. He knows exactly what he's doing. Exactly what he's doing.
I'm not even trying to make light of it, Don, but, I mean, that's so odd to hear. He's smart, he's got skills, and he's a punk. It's what doesn't fit here. The punk doesn't fit here. That just means that you're a punk. It's in your DNA.
Because he knows what – see, that's the thing that drives people crazy. That's why even if he got suspended, it wouldn't matter because he's been suspended already. He knows what he's doing. He knows who's on the ice. He knows exactly what he can get away with, and he's a tremendous player. This isn't a guy that's easily angered. This isn't a guy that plays out of his mind. He knows exactly what he's doing, and it works to his advantage, and it works to the Capitals' advantage. Well, that's why every team in the league would love to have him.
It must be the Capitals are at fault, too. They could stop it. They choose not to.
They benefit from it, Michael. Right. They do. And listen, you can get Laviolette defending, and believe me, when Laviolette was in Philadelphia, when Laviolette was in Carolina, believe me, he hated the guy too. Everybody hates the guy. Well, he wasn't in the league when Carolina, but you know what I'm saying. When he was in Nashville, when he was in Philadelphia. Remember, this guy's only been in the league since 2013. He's already been suspended five times.
All right, we have to break because I'm getting yelled at. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.